statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey.
To exhort you today in the word, a message I believe the Lord has given, and I have a title for our teaching today: God is working a permanent and enduring faith. God is working a permanent and enduring faith. I believe if anything that we are to see and experience in these closing days before the Lord Jesus Christ returns is an enduring faith, a faith that will believe, a faith that will not be denied, an enduring faith, an overcoming faith, because we're going to hear many disturbing reports. If there is anything that the enemy is working on at this present time, is fear. And we know that fear has torment, confusion. It brings out all sorts of behavioral problems and psychological problems. And of course, we are seeing that in society through COVID-19. So it is always important for us to be able to hear what God is saying to his people, particularly in the midst of time and trial. It's so important that we hear what the Spirit is saying to the church, so that it helps us to keep our eyes so focused on the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the author and finisher of our faith. And I think we're all experiencing and learning through the deeper life teaching that we've had over the years how the faith teaching is really kicking in. How essential it is for us to stand firm and believe and trust in the promises of God. And that's why I'm calling this teaching today, God is working a permanent and enduring faith. And I want to base this from the Gospel of John, John 16 and verse 32 and 33. John 16 verses 32 and 33. And here is something very interesting that our Lord predicted before he finally went to the cross. In fact, we get an insight of how his heavenly Father was communicating with him and preparing him. And he was preparing him so that he would not be off guard, that there would be that preparation, The Father is revealing to him so that he can pray, he can intercede, he can be built up in prayer. And God does the same with us if we are listening to what the Holy Spirit is saying. Particularly at this time, for there are many, many voices that are speaking. There is a huge amount of fear out there and speculation. But we need to know and hear what our Heavenly Father is saying to us, because we walk by the same Spirit that Jesus walked by. And here it is, and he says here, "Indeed the hour is coming, yes, has now come, that you will be scattered, each to his own, and will leave me alone. And yet I am not alone, because the Father is with me. These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." And the Lord has overcome in this situation with coronavirus. He has overcome the world. He has overcome this. And it is absolutely paramount that we keep our eyes on him and look to none other, particularly at this time when many, many voices are speaking. And voices that believe they have the answers to all this problem. Now, looking at this portion of scripture here, it's important to understand a bit what's going on here. You see, Jesus is not rebuking the disciples so much as pointing out that they are to focus on him, who is the author finisher of their faith. That is the disciples whom he's addressing here. The same as he's addressing it to us. You see, they were not fully focused on him in order for him to do the work in their heart. And he knew that at his betrayal, they would scatter, which they did. And the Lord is saying to us, are you going to scatter through this trial that the world globally is going through? Now, it may not mean that you actually physically run away like the disciples did when the guards came and took him away. We all know the story, but we can run away in fear. We can run away and bury our heads in the sand and hope it will go away. We can do it in so many ways. And so, as we know, the story goes, they fled, they scattered. But it's interesting that the disciples went where their hearts and affections were. They went to their own interests apart from Jesus. And that is what happens when we don't walk by faith and our eyes fully fixed on the Lord. We run away to our own interests. We run away to the affections in our heart. We run away to where we think we're going to be safe and secure. There is only one we can ever run to for our full security, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ himself. And it is interesting how we can do this in the most subtle ways. You see, if we scatter and run away, we simply are involved in the emptiness of our daily lives. And we then become barren and unfruitful. And then we start to criticize and question and so on. That is what happens. And so this is what Jesus is warning here. And I believe that this is a warning to us as well, particularly in this time. Because let's repeat again what he says here. "Indeed, the hour is coming, yes, has now come, that you will be scattered, each to his own, In other words, his own desires, where he or she feels safe and will leave me alone. Did you know that you can leave the Lord Jesus alone? We have been saved for relationship. We have a covenant relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And when we turn our back or we react in unbelief and fear, we leave him alone. It's no different to when he was on the earth, to what we do to him now through the Holy Spirit, the baptism of the Spirit. And yet I am not alone, because the Father is with me. And that is the key. When we are with Jesus, we are with the Father. And the Father is with us. And that is our peace. That is our clarity of mind. That is our security, that we find ourselves in him. And when we get this from our heads to our hearts, then we find we don't start scattering. So many Christians today are scattering. They are fleeing. They go from one place to the other, one ministry to the other, one church to another, and get more and more confused. Instead of building this relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And that is what sorts out the men from the boys. And God, through this trial that he has permitted and allowed on this earth, this is going to sort out a lot of Christendom, a lot who simply talk it. But we have to live it. And up to that point, the disciples were simply talking it. They were just looking at it and seeing what Jesus was doing. But you see, the Lord knows that that dropping from the head to the heart, that 18 inches, is so, so important. And he goes on in verse 33, "These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace." So he made this very clear. This was something that very often when he took the disciples to one side, there were things that he was saying to them. And we get indications, we get clues here of what the Lord was emphasizing so many times with them. The same as he does with us. "In me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation. Be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." Now, that "be of good cheer" is actually very important. He doesn't say, "Oh, be happy," which is a term we so often use today. No, he's talking about a cheer, a joy, a blessing, a peace. This really refers to praising God. Have any of us, through this time that we're facing and going through, have you actually just had a time, instead of praying, all anxieties and fears coming before God, have we had a time of just actually praising him and worshipping him and lifting holy hands in his presence? That we are of good cheer, because Jesus has overcome the world. He has overcome COVID-19. Whatever the reports, whatever we hear, and so much is flying about, we can praise him, we can lift holy hands in his presence, because he has overcome this. And as he has overcome this, you have overcome this as well. This is not rocket science. The problem is so often that what Jesus says to us is so simple that we miss it. We want to intellectualize all these things. We want answers. We want to know why and everything. And we have to learn to rest in God And God will speak, he will tell us, we will know, because we have the Holy Spirit, the comforter, the teacher. We have the personality of Christ ministered to us through the Holy Spirit. He is with us now. And that is why we walk by faith and not by sight. He has not left us alone. He is with us in this. And he is going to lead and he's going to guide us, because he has overcome the world. And therefore you can confidently by faith say, I have overcome this in Jesus' name. When the enemy tries, and boy is he trying. You see, God at times engineers our circumstances to see what we will do. And what is Corona doing in your life? Maybe you need to be absolutely frank and honest and say, Father, what is this doing to me? What is it? Is it exposing things in me that I need to confess and get delivered from? We have to walk humbly before God. And if there's any time that the church needs to bow the knee in humility before God, it is now, so that we do not have the enemy on our backs who comes to deceive. And the greatest weapon he is working with at the moment is fear, without doubt. But we are told there is no fear in the perfect love of God. And I'll talk about that later. You see, our faith is exercised in the realities of life. And the coronavirus is a present day reality. It is not going to go away yet. It is a present day reality. It's happening right now, today, this moment, even as I preach. So how do I overcome in the midst of this trial? And this is a global trial. This is unprecedented. This is something that none of us, or most of us, have ever seen. The nearest, of course, is those who went through World War II. But this is unprecedented in nature. So these are the realities of life. You see, very often our faith is real, but it's not permanent. It's not resolute. It's still altering and wavering. I am not permanent. I am not firmly on the rock with regard to my faith. And my faith, possibly through all of this trial that we're going through. Are we wavering? We know what it says in James, those that waver, like the wave of the sea, tossed to and fro. One minute they're in faith, talking the right thing. Next minute they're in confusion and fear and running away. That is not what God did for us through Jesus Christ. That is not our salvation. Our salvation is with Christ firmly standing upon the rock. You see, our faith, sadly at times, is so often interested just in blessings and having a good, peaceful time. But life is not like that. Jesus said, be of good cheer, I have overcome the world, John 16:33. And he has overcome the world. And your faith, my faith, isn't just for blessings. And indeed, God does bless. He is generous, our Heavenly Father. But our faith is infinitely bigger than that. It is so that we stand through trial and tribulation. And this is what sorts out the men from the boys in Christendom. That is why I say trials are tailor-made. They expose where we stand in the faith and our commitment to the Lord Jesus Christ. Many can quote scripture. Many can recite scripture and everything, but it doesn't mean to say that they stand firm in a trial. And that is what is the test, the acid test. And our Heavenly Father was going to work that through his Son. The greatest test of his faith was to go to the cross. And he embraced it. And he endured it. And he stayed with it. That you and I today can be in fellowship, in unity with him and each other. And that is the same principle for us. I believe when we come out of Corona, this is really going to sort out a lot of Christendom. This is going to sort out a lot of churches who just want to get the seats filled, who just preach sermonettes instead of the real meat of the word. This is going to sort out so much in the house of God. I believe this is what God reveals to me. It is a purging, a purifying. And it is only those who have their eyes firmly fixed upon the Lord Jesus Christ who will come out of this purified as gold. That is what makes an overcomer. That is why I so emphasize the seven churches in Asia Minor. Those seven churches that the book of Revelation was written to. The book of Revelation was written to Gentiles. It was not written to Jews. Although the Jews are there in chapter 7, of course they are. They're God's ancient remnant. But the book of Revelation is written to the church. It's a message to the church, to the churches. And that is how you interpret the book of Revelation. And each of those churches are a type that they speak to us today. And each of them is those who overcome. And they were going through various conflicts and trials. And the key message was to those who overcome. In other words, who remain faithful to the end. And that message does not change. The word of God does not change. The Holy Spirit does not change. God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. We try to change God, don't we? To suit our circumstances, our environment, our generation that we live in. But he doesn't change. The word of God also says there's nothing new under the sun. It is those who overcome. In other words, who are faithful to the word of God, to the light that we have received and are receiving. That is why I always come back to the sword of the Spirit, the word of God. And the word of God will address Corona. Not man, God will. And what we need to know and the root of it and where it's come from, God will speak. And he is speaking and he is showing us where the root of this is coming from. The Holy Spirit, when he begins to speak, he's not a spirit and God of confusion. He will confirm and confirm and confirm and confirm and confirm until we finally see it. That is how God works. My sheep hear my voice and they follow me, Philippians 2 says. You see, so often we still interpret our faith on the basis of what we see and feel. Our faith in God is believing before we see him act. And that is why our faith has to be tried. Because our faith is still so much on our feelings, our emotions, how I feel today, or what I'm seeing, or what I'm hearing. All of that is real. Yes, we have feelings, we have senses, but we don't put our trust in them. Our trust can only be in the word of God and the sword of the Spirit. What does 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 7 say? 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 7. That the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ. The Greek word is there, the genuineness of your faith. In other words, is it genuine? Is it honest? Is it real? Or is it just a facade? Just words, a lot of hot air. As I said, this is going to sort it out. Because it says it's much more precious than gold that perishes. And gold is regarded as the most sacred and valuable mineral metal that we have on planet Earth. It's even better than that. Though it be tested by fire. And indeed it is, and indeed we are. We are in the fire at the moment, brothers and sisters. And it's raging. It is hot. But may be found to the praise, honor, and glory at what? The revelation of Jesus Christ. In other words, our trials bring a revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ, that flesh and blood cannot reveal to you. This revelation of himself that he reveals to us and shows you is so intimate, is so wonderful, is so powerful. You can't even get this from your brother or sister. You can't even get this from me or teachers. This is something that is revealed to you because you have been faithful. You have stayed with it. He has been with you through this fire. And the fire has purified you. And you have a greater revelation and insight to the one that you follow. That's what spurs us on to be overcomers and to stay with it. Because these are touches in your life and heart that nobody else can give. So God is so gracious and loving and merciful to us, particularly in our time of trial. And I'm going to tell you, he is going to touch you. He's going to reveal himself to you. He's going to say to you, you didn't go carrying off and you didn't go up with this other teaching or the fears and everything that is raging around. You stayed with me. You stayed with my word. You let the fire purify you. That is what's commendable. That is what he looks for. And that is what he'll do. Now, as I take this a step further, in light of what I've said here, I believe God has been speaking, and he's been speaking much to us about the nature of this virus and why the world is afflicted by it. The Holy Spirit has been revealing. And like all things, we have to test, we have to discern. We have to pray over these things. We have to wait. Because as I say, there's an awful lot of this traveling around. And you're getting a lot of it in your emails and social media and whatever it is. So what are some of the things we are witnessing and seeing now? That is the question. Well, they say the future Earth is under a threat. They're calling it a perfect storm crisis. And it could cause a global systems to collapse. In other words, the world will collapse. The very existence of humanity. Even the Guardian newspaper said the very existence of humanity is under threat. That was an announcement that was given February 2020. Even Prince Charles and Greta Thunberg told leaders and politicians in the World Economic Summit at Davos that we have only 1 year left unless we deal with fossil fuels. What report do you believe? Most of the world take that on, believe that. Those comments are out of the pit. They're to instill fear, paralyze the world in fear. And when I hear those remarks, it makes me go back to the Word of God, to what our Lord said. You see, what is so worrying and concerning is that people so much on climate change and the state of the environment, this has almost become like a cult. You see, that isn't the only problem that's threatening the world today, and I'm not saying that it isn't a problem. We all want to breathe fresh air. We don't want pollution. Nobody would want that. So there's always an element of truth in these things, but man never knows when to stop. And fear will always build on it and build on it. Until a lot of this, sadly, is like a cult. But that isn't just the problem that's threatening the world today. Coronavirus has spread disease and fear around the world. There have been fires, storms, floods all over the world. Locust plagues in Africa, which is devouring crops. We hear of earthquakes. There are volcanoes all in various places. There are areas, conflicts in the Middle East. The upheaval of migrants and refugees. Wars, destruction, we hear of famines. What does this remind us of, brothers and sisters? Yes, you know this well, but I'm going to really labour this so that we keep our eyes firmly fixed, that it keeps us balanced to what is going on. Our Lord said the very thing in Matthew 24, verse 7, and you know it. Matthew 24, verse 7, for nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. There will be famines, pestilences, there we are, corona, earthquakes in various places. All these are the beginning of sorrows. And then the persecution comes, verse 9, upon the Christian church. The Lord has already said in verse 5, for many will come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and will deceive many. In other words, they don't come saying they're actually the Messiah, Jesus. They come as wolves in sheep's clothing. They, in their arrogance and pride through their ministry and teaching, place themselves as though they are Christ. I've heard these teachers. And he then says, you will hear of wars, rumours of wars. See that you're not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. So we're moving rapidly towards the end. But he said, it's not end yet. There's still more to come. And that is why we have to be overcomers. And that is why we have to keep our eyes firmly fixed upon the Lord Jesus Christ. So our Lord said all these things. There's nothing new to it, nothing new under the sun. Our responsibility as born-again, spirit-filled Christians is that we interpret this correctly, scripturally. And we must be on our guard, what we hear, what we see, what we listen, and prayerfully consider these things. Because yes, some of these things we're getting, the Lord is using, and it is confirming. And it is certainly confirming where the nature of COVID-19 is coming from. We are seeing more and more that this is sadly man-made. Man is his own worst enemy when he tries to be God, when he tries to control the population, tries to control disease, sickness and everything, which he's trying to do. He's trying to be God. He's trying to build the paradise, the utopia, a new world order. That's what it's about. He wants to build a new world that man will rule and reign. And of course, we know who's behind that. It's really Satan. It will never happen. He's on the road to destruction. He is deceiving himself through his pride. And of course, technology, as we know, and AI is all going to work toward this. So I remind you again, as I bring this to a close, God is working a permanent, enduring faith within us. We cannot let this affect our emotions, our feelings, or whatever it is. And sometimes it can be very alarming. We have to prayerfully take these before God and wait. Because we walk by faith and not by sight. And we wait for our God to speak, to lead, to guide, to preserve, to protect. That is what our faith is for. We don't see it yet, but it is coming. That's why Hebrews 11:1 tells us what faith is. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen as yet. So our faith believes in that that is visibly not yet seen. That is our faith. And that has got nothing to do with your feelings, your emotions, or whatever it is. And this is why the devil uses fear. Because he wants to try and paralyze your faith from believing. He wants to keep your eyes away from the promises of God's word. And the only way we overcome this, brothers and sisters, is to keep our eyes fully fixed on Jesus, who is the author, finisher of our faith. And he will speak, he will lead, he will guide. He will preserve. He will hold nothing back. You will have everything and more at your disposal, what you need, so that you can be effective in prayer and in warfare to push back a lot of this until finally the church is raptured and taken out. That is why your prayers, your weapons that you have been given, are so powerful, and the enemy knows it. This is not a time to give up. This is not a time to relax or to run away like the disciples did. This is a time to remain faithful, a time to keep our eyes on the Lord Jesus and our hearts open to the leading, the guidance of the Holy Spirit, the one who has come to lead us and to lead us in our prayers and intercessions. Your prayers are so powerful before the mercy seat of God. The authority that was given upon the Lord Jesus Christ when he rose from the grave and now sits at the right hand of the Father. The authority that he has is the authority that he shares and gives to us as well. And that authority is in the blood and in the name of Jesus. And no demon in hell can stand in the presence of that confession by faith. Heavenly Father, help us, Lord, to apply wisdom, faith, with that which we have heard today. How we have need, Lord, of hearing what the Spirit is saying to us. and you do nothing contrary to your word. Father, help us to keep our eyes firmly fixed upon Jesus, that we move with you. We know the enemy is going around like a roaring lion, and that roar is to create fear. But our confession is that there is no fear in the perfect love of God. Father, we thank you for our gathering today. Thank you for our fellowship. Thank you for speaking to us. Help us, Lord, not to be just hearers, but doers of the word. And Lord, we pray your mercy over the land, over the world. We know this is judgment. We know because we have seen it. Jesus spoke of it. Oh, Father, we pray, Lord, for those who have lost loved ones in this, lives dying each day in thousands. Oh, Father, reveal yourself, Lord, in your mercy and grace. May they call out upon the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved, and their families. Only you can use all of these things and turn and create it into a miracle, because the salvation of man is a miracle. And Lord, we ask that you will stay your hand in this, Father. Help all those that are in lockdown. Father, those who have family, have children, Lord, help them. Help the children, Father, because it is the most sensible thing to do when there is a plague. Lord, we know there is light at the end of that tunnel, and that light is Jesus. And our prayer is that many, many families around the world will see that light and will respond by your Spirit. And Lord, I pray you will bless, preserve and keep each one of us. May the blood of Jesus always be around us, protecting us. Give your angels charge over us, Lord, when we go out and when we come in. For this we ask in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen, amen.
You know.